So I just want to look at this text together. Now, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1 in just verse 3. Now, as I said at the beginning, this is the verse I've quoted many, many, many times to you folks at Liberty. But I want to take this verse and really just break it down and begin to just unpack what's contained within this verse, because I'm going to tell you something, it's loaded. When I began to study this passage, I thought I was going to do about two or three verses. I realized very quickly that wasn't going to happen. And so we're going to look at verse 3 this morning. Now, go ahead and give you a heads up. We're going to look at verse 4 tonight. So we're just going to look at two verses today, verse 3 this morning and verse 4 tonight. So I'm going to ask you, as you're there at home, if you would please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word as a family. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Let's pray. Father, speak to us in a very personal way. Help us today through your word and by your spirit for your glory, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you may be seated there on your recliners or couches or chairs or wherever you may be. And so, I want us to look. Verse 3 through verse 14 is one long sentence in the Greek text. And I'll be honest with you, it is absolutely profound and loaded with truth. Now, some Bible scholars have described this sentence or these verses in this way. One guy said this. He called it the golden chain of many spiritual links. Another scholar said that it's a kaleidoscope of dazzling spiritual lights and shifting spiritual colors. But here's one that I like the most. It's a magnificent gateway into who we are when God saved us. And so there is glorious truth contained throughout verse 3 and through verse 14. And so we're going to spend a lot of time in this section of verses. Now, when we come to verse 3, he begins by this word, "Blessed be the God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." I want you to look first with me at the adoration of the giver of spiritual blessings. So in other words, this word "blessed" here is a little different word. You know, not long ago we were looking at the Beatitudes and you saw the word "blessed." It's a different Greek word used here. The word used here is the word that we get the English word "eulogy" from. And literally what it means is commend those that we have an adornment of or adoration in. And so the picture here is Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing in such a way that he's saying, listen, if we understand what we have in Christ, who we are in Christ, then our hearts ought to be filled with gratitude and praise and adoration that he is the author and the giver of everything that we have. So I'll tell you it this way. If you have anything that's of spiritual value, God did it. If you have anything that is of spiritual eternal value, God did it. And so we ought to praise and adore him. And so the whole heart of Paul here, I believe, is to fill the people of Ephesus. Now remember, he's writing to believers. Remember Wednesday night? He's writing to believers, and he's wanting to fill their hearts with gratitude and thankfulness and praise for what God has done through Christ by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to look at a couple things that I believe is entailed in this term, "Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." It begins with, his goodness is to be praised. Because what we're going to look at here in verse 3 is what God gave us to have the spiritual life or how to live the Christian life. So in other words, he didn't save us and leave us helpless. He saved us and equipped us mightily. And so this is the goodness of God. Now listen, the character of God is part of his goodness. But you need to understand something. The only thing we can do is give words of praise to him. In other words, we don't have any goodness to offer to God. So in other words, we can't offer to God our goodness because we have none. But here's what God did. God understood that all we could do is give an adoration of praise or words of praise or a life that praises him. But even that is through the person of the Lord Jesus. But yet at the same time, in his goodness, here's what he does. He turns around and gives us his goodness, his character. So everything that's true about him, God begins to give to us. And it's just an amazing thing. And so what Paul's saying, he said, adore, praise him for his goodness. Because I want to tell you something, God is good. So in other words, it doesn't matter what's going on in our lives if you're saved today. It doesn't matter what's going on in our country if you're saved today. It doesn't matter what's going on in our world if you're saved today. Here's the one thing that can never change. God is good, God is holy, God is love, and you and I that have him ought to be able to praise him no matter what's going on. And so we need to keep a mindset that if we understand these truths, our hearts would be filled with gratitude. But there's a second aspect to this. Not only his goodness is to be praised, but his grace is to be praised. Notice what it reads here. Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, what is the grace of God? Well, here's what it is. The goodness of God speaks of his character. The grace of God speaks of his giving of that character. So in other words, he is the one that gave us the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why is that important? Because I want to tell you something. If we're left to ourselves, if we got what we deserve, I promise you, God the Father would have never sent Jesus Christ to bear our sins. It is only by grace that he did it. It is only by grace, the unmerited favor of God, that he gave us what we didn't deserve. And the Lord Jesus is the gift of God that we didn't deserve. And the Lord Jesus in his death, burial, resurrection, the Lord Jesus in his life and his sustaining life and his equipping life and his enabling life, the Lord Jesus is the grace of God given to you and I. And so we ought to praise him for his grace that he has given us. Now think about it just a minute. He cannot bless us with our goodness, for we have none. But in turn, he blesses us with his goodness and his grace. So he gives us what we don't have. He gives us what we don't deserve. And then he takes, grace has a twofold meaning. And we always take, it's the unmerited favor of God. It is. And we better be glad that it is. But grace is also the enabling power of God. So what he does is he gives us grace when we don't deserve it. Remember, grace is Christ. And then he turns around and in exchange, not only does he give us what we don't deserve, but in giving us what we don't deserve, being grace, which is Christ, he now enables us to be able to walk in what he's given us. And that's the grace of God. And we ought to praise him for his grace and his goodness. I want you to look, secondly, at the availability of the gift of spiritual blessing. Now watch what it says here. It says, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say who will bless us. And matter of fact, it doesn't even say that who will continue to bless us. The verb here, bless us, is in the aorist, which means a one-time event never to be repeated. So you say, wait a minute, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. What Paul is saying here to these that are of Ephesus, these saints who were faithful in Christ Jesus, verse 1, what he's saying to them is this, that God has already, once and for all, forever, never to be repeated, he has given you all spiritual blessing. Now, this is the availability. So, in other words, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying whatever these spiritual blessings are, they are 100% available to every child of God. You say, how? Because they already have them. And so this is what we need to understand. This is something already accomplished, already done. Now, I'll explain what all that means in just a moment. But I want you to look first at the means of spiritual blessing. So this spiritual blessing is available to us. What is the means by which it's available to us? Well, I want you to look. It says, he hath blessed us. All right, now, notice the us. Who's he speaking of? Well, these saints of Ephesus that are faithful. In the same way, you and I that are saved. So he's blessed every born-again child of God. How did he do that? Well, the means by which this blessing come is found in the word spiritual. Notice he doesn't say physical blessings or material blessings. So in other words, this passage has nothing to do with your physical or your material needs. Now, I want to clarify because I want us to understand. How many of you agree, just as God takes care of our spiritual, God's also sufficient to take care of our physical? So in other words, we can cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. He provides all of our needs according to his riches and glory. So in other words, there is a truth that God is our sufficient supply for our physical. But what this verse is dealing with is the spiritual. The word spiritual here comes from the word pneuma, which is always in relation to the person of the Holy Spirit. So what it's speaking of is God the Father, who gave us the Lord Jesus, that's grace, and given us the Lord Jesus also through and by the Holy Spirit, has given us the blessing that comes through Christ. So the Spirit of God is the communicator, or if you want to say it this way, the enabler to be able to walk in what God has given us. Now, here's the amazing thing about this all. The amazing thing about it all is this, that the Father is the initiator. He's the one that gives it. The Son is where this blessing is contained. In other words, he is the blessing. But it is the Spirit of God that takes what the Father has given in Christ and now makes it available to you and I to be able to walk in. So what you have is the triune Godhead at work in blessing you with this spiritual realm. And it's an amazing, amazing truth. Folks, listen. Anything that you have in Christ Jesus, any spiritual blessing, any ability to walk in the Christian life, any spiritual thing in your life that has a heavenly realm is from him and him alone. By Christ, through the Holy Spirit, and listen, not for your selfish gain, but for his glory. And this is the means of this blessing. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, of whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Can I tell you something? God has never changed. He is our sufficiency in our spiritual life. I want you to look second. It's not only the means of spiritual blessing, but the magnitude of spiritual blessing. Notice the word here. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessing. So what do you mean? Well, the word all is also translated every. Matter of fact, most Greek manuscripts, if they translate it, that's the way they translate it, is every. But it's translated all 748 times in Scripture. Now, I know there's some people that say verses like, it's not his will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Say, well, all don't mean all. Well, I got news for you. All means all. So in other words, the word used here means all. And so in other words, the magnitude of what God has given us in Christ by the Holy Spirit, the magnitude of that is this, that we have everything we need. So when God saved you, he didn't leave out one thing. There's not one measure of grace. There's not one measure of the Holy Spirit. There's not one measure of victory. There's not one measure of joy. There's not one measure of peace. There's not one measure of anything you would need for the Christian life that he left out. It's absolutely amazing. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, another passage I quote to y'all all the time. The Bible says, he has given us divine power, has granted unto us everything pertaining to life and godliness. All things pertaining to life and godliness. So what has God given you and I to live the Christian life? By the way, the word life here is zoe, spiritual life. So what has God given you to live the spiritual life? All things. What has God given you that you and I can walk in holiness and godliness? All things. And so the magnitude of this gift in which God gave, which reminds you, is Christ. The magnitude of this is this. I have everything I need in him for Christian life and for godliness. Everything. Boy, I tell you, I don't know about you, but don't that take the excuses out of our life for not walking in godliness? I mean, it absolutely removes every realm of excuse. An Old Testament picture of this is found in the book of Joshua. You remember the land of Canaan was the land that God had given to Israel. This was God's provision. This was God's blessing for Israel. And God was so emphatic about this land being the center of all his blessing that he literally told them in Deuteronomy 6, he says, you can't even practice the law until you get to the land of Canaan. You remember Deuteronomy 6, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Y'all remember all that? And so he's saying here, he said, you can't even walk in that. You can't even walk in the reality of what my law meant until you're in the land of Canaan. And notice this with me. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, watch how God tells Joshua about this land. He says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Notice the accomplished fact of it. So what's the magnitude of this blessing? Every place the sole of your foot touches. So all of Canaan, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river and the river Euphrates and the land of the Hittites and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. So here's what he told Joshua. Joshua, in my eye, Canaan is already yours. It's already been given. Now possess it. Possess what's yours. And so the picture is God has given us everything for life and godliness. All spiritual blessing. Now here's the rub. It's already given. But we've got to possess it. I want you to look thirdly at the meaning of spiritual blessing. Here's the main thing. I want to catch this. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. That's the way it reads in the English. Blessings, plural. But what if I told you in the original Greek, the word blessing is singular and not plural? And it is. So here's the way it reads in the Greek. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Singular. Now you say, well, preacher, wait a minute. Isn't the blessings of God, isn't it a magnitude of things? Well, the effects of the blessing of God is manifested in many ways. But the blessing itself is one blessing he gave you. You say, well, what blessing did he give me? Christ Jesus. So can I tell you what this spiritual blessing that from heavenlies is? Christ. Let me ask you a question. Did Christ come from the heavenly realm to walk up on this earth as man? Did Christ walk up on this earth, die, bury, resurrected? Where did he send back to? The heavenlies, right hand of the majesty upon high. All right, the Bible says in Acts 2 that he left heaven again, this time in the form of the Holy Spirit. And now, heavenly, the heavenly blessing now descended from the heavens and impacted and indwelt you and I. And now the life of Christ in you. And this is the spiritual blessing. So this is the meaning of the spiritual blessing. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Now what does that mean? It means this, that everything that's true about Christ can be true about us. Everything that's available to Christ is available to us. Why? Because when God saved you, he gave you Christ. And if I could not participate in what was true of Christ, then I would have to say that God didn't give me everything when he gave me Christ. And I got news for you. He gave you everything when he gave you Christ. Christ is the spiritual blessing. Now, how does this gift of Christ manifest itself in our life? Well, let me walk through some things real quick with you. This is not on your outline, so if you want to write these down, you can. How does this gift of Christ become my spiritual blessing? Well, here's how it happens. Through Christ, we have spiritual life. How many agree that without Christ, we have no life? He that hath not the Son hath not life. So through Christ, we have spiritual life. That's what saves us from death. Through Christ, we have spiritual light. In other words, Christ is not only our life, he's our light. And that saves us from darkness and deception. Aren't you glad today that Jesus Christ is your light, your wisdom, your understanding? He is your, through the Spirit of God, he is the one that gives you the discernment and the wisdom and the application to take the Word of God and plant it in the heart of man and be able to enable us to live that truth out. Protects us from every wave of doctrine. Christ is our spiritual love that saves us from despondency. Isn't it amazing today that the Bible says the love of God was shed in our hearts by the Holy Ghost? Well, what did God shed in our heart by the Holy Ghost? Well, the love of God. But who is the love of God? It's Christ. And so God gave us Christ, and Christ is the love of God. Christ is the love of God demonstrated. Christ is the love of God embodied. Christ is the love of God. And listen, when we walk in his love, you and I will be protected from despondency. But notice next, we have spiritual longings. And these longings are Christ. Who's the one that gives us the desire for the spiritual things? It's Christ, his life, by his Spirit. And this saves us from decay. It's amazing when we get our minds and our hearts off of the things of God, how quickly we find ourselves reverting back to the old ways of the flesh. One of the things that's burdened me through all of this, and I want you to listen to the heart of your pastor in this, because I want you to get this very seriously. One of the reasons I am so passionate about assembling ourselves together and not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together is because I know that when we start waning in our desire to sit under the things of God and the Word of God, our humanity will crop up and our flesh will crop up in a New York second. That's the reason I plead with everybody that since we cannot be here on a short temporary basis, that you please get yourself before your computer or your iPad or your phone or whatever it is that you use to watch these messages and these services. Because he is our spiritual longing, and it protects us from decay. Lastly, he's our spiritual liberty, and it saves us from defeat. Remember, liberty is not, I have the liberty in Christ to do what I want to do. Liberty is I have the liberty in Christ to be free from sin, to have victory, to walk in victory. That's what liberty means. And so what it's saying is Christ, who is our victory? Let me ask you a question. Did Christ purchase your victory? Did Christ overcome Satan? Did Christ overcome the flesh? Did Christ deal with your sin? Not what you did, but who you are, your sin nature. Yes. So you say, well, wait a minute. So what does that mean? Here's what it means. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm buried with Christ. I'm rose with Christ. Therefore, reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Christ is our liberty. And this is the spiritual blessing, singular, that God gave us when he saved us. Well, I want you to look thirdly at the appropriation of the gift of spiritual blessing. You say, Pastor, what in the world does that word appropriation mean? It means there's something that had to take place for what he gave you to be reality in your everyday living. The word here, blessed, as I said earlier, is aorist. It's a one-time event. But it's active. Now you say, what does that mean? It means this, that you and I must by faith possess what God has given us. You know, I found this to be true in my life. I found to be true in my life that I only desire and I only possess what I adore and what I like. Why would Paul go to such extent to, and really in three chapters, expose who we are in Christ? Because he understood that if these of Ephesus and you and I of the church, if we don't understand what God had done when he saved us and who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us, then we'll never have an adornment, an affection, and a passion to walk in these things. You see, when God told Joshua, every foot that your place touches, I have given you. Joshua didn't have to ask for the land of Canaan. In other words, if God would have said, all right, Joshua, here's the way it's going to work. I've already given you the land of Canaan. And then Joshua would have turned around right after God said that and said to God, all right, God, I'm going to ask you, would you please give us Canaan? Can I tell you, that's what we do every day in our prayer life. God has given us all spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus because he gave us Christ, and yet we're asking him all the time. Liberty, y'all have heard me say this a million times. We're asking him all the time, give me victory, give me peace, give me power, give me this, give me that. And God's sitting there going, wait a minute. I've already gave you all this. Just trust me. Hey, what did Israel need to do by Joshua's leadership? Did they need to gather together and have a prayer meeting to say, oh, God, would you help us to take Canaan? Oh, no, here's what they needed to do. They needed to say, God, you've already gave it to us. Let's go. They just needed to trust God. You already have. But active, you must trust. You must, by faith, take to yourself what God has given you. You're never walking these truths if you don't trust him. There were 2.5 tribes in the book of Joshua that chose not to go across Jordan. Matter of fact, they asked God to allow them to stay on the other side of Jordan. Now here's the sad part of all that. God's gift was to all the tribes of Israel, not to some. But yet 2.5 tribes decided, hey, we kind of like this land over here. It's fertile. It deals with our spirit, our physical needs. I mean, we can grow crops, we can be healthy, we can have all that we need to eat, our cattle will be healthy, we can have all that we need from them. This land is sufficient for us. And you know what's sad about it? You find as you go through the history of Israel that those 2.5 tribes became irrelevant in the history of Israel. You know why? Because they settled for the physical instead of what God had for them in the spiritual. Listen, here's what will keep you and me from appropriating this blessing. When you put your physical above your spiritual, it'll kick you out. Lastly, I want you to look at the atmosphere of the gift of spiritual blessings. Notice what it says. In heavenly places, in Christ. Now, the word I want you to focus on is the word in. As I said Wednesday night, we see that word in Christ Jesus multiple times throughout the book of Ephesians. Here it's used twice. In heavenly places, in Christ. The word in means a sphere or an atmosphere of rest. As I've said to you many times, it means to make yourself at home. So in other words, what is the atmosphere? What is the sphere through which this blessing that God gave us in Christ resides? Notice what it says. In heavenly places, the place of spiritual blessing. Remember, every good gift comes from where? Above. So where is the atmosphere through which this blessing comes from? Heaven. And what this means is the heavenly places, it deals with the supernatural realm of God or the complete domain of God. You remember the model prayer? As it is in heaven, let it be on what? Earth. So where is the beginning? What's true in heaven? Where is the end? That it be on earth. Where is this spiritual blessing? Well, he's seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. But at the same time, guess what? He is in me and in you. So in other words, it is a heavenly realm through which the spiritual blessing comes. Now, you and I need to understand this for this fact, that when God saved you, you may be here, but you're really not here. The Bible says, we're going to look at this later on, a couple months probably, in Ephesians 2, that we are seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. So guess what? You were identified with Christ. You were made one with Christ. So when God saved you, he took Christ out of heaven, placed Christ in you. He took you and placed you in Christ. Therefore, whatever's true of Christ in heaven can be true of you here. It's a heavenly realm. I mean, the Bible tells us this all through Scripture. Colossians 3:1, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. You say, wait a minute, I'm not been risen with Christ. I'm not dead yet. Oh, listen, spiritually, he already ascended you and placed you in Christ in heavenly places. Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven. Listen, folks, if my residence is heaven and my permanent residence is heaven and I'm just a sojourner, I'm a stranger, then let me ask us a question. Should our heavenly conversation be about earthly things or about heavenly things? Luke 10:20, Jesus said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in where? Heaven. You know the reality of it? When we go to Israel, however many times we've been, I think I've been 3 times in 5 years. So whenever we go to Israel, here's something that never changes. Everybody I take to Israel is still an American citizen, even though they're walking in a foreign country. That means the rights of an American citizen follows them wherever they go. Let me tell you something. When God saved you, the grace of Jesus Christ in heaven follows you everywhere you go, because your citizenship, spiritual realm, is in heaven. Lastly, the prerequisite of spiritual blessing in Christ. So I must be at rest in my position in heavenly places. And the only way I'm going to be at rest in my position in heavenly places is to be at rest in Christ. This is the prerequisite. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this: if you leave out the in Christ, you will never have any blessing at all, because he is the blessing. So what's the prerequisite? Every person that's listening to my voice are in one of two realms. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. Every one of us are either in Adam or in Christ. So who is this verse 3 for? Not for those that are in Adam, but only those that are in Christ. So here's my question to you. Are you at rest that Christ is your Lord? He calls the shots. Are you at rest that Christ is your Redeemer and Savior? Oh, but here it is. Are you at rest that Christ is your life? The only thing about you that matters is Christ. You see, it's this simple. If you're in Christ, God has already given you everything you need. But you got to know what it is, and you got to appropriate it by faith. And most people, Manly Beasley, long time ago, here's what Manly Beasley said. He said, the greatest need in the church today is knowing who you became and what you got when you became a child of God. If you're always asking God, I need peace, I need victory, you're not walking in the reality of verse 3. But if you're trusting God and thanking God, God, in this time of my life, I thank you. You are my peace. When I have to go to the grocery store because I don't have any bread or milk for my kids, you are my protection. When I have to do this, you are my ability. When I need this, you are my sufficiency. Not Lord, will you, but Lord, thank you that you are. Father, I praise you and I thank you today. That Father, you are the giver of this spiritual blessing. For you gave us your Son. Through your Holy Spirit, that Father, we can walk in what we have, and we have everything that we need for the spiritual life. Father, I pray right now where everybody is that maybe you're stirring some hearts and they would have to be honest. You're exposing unbelief. You're exposing that we don't understand, we don't know what we have in Christ, and we are begging you and asking you to give us what you've already given us. Father, I pray right now they'd find themselves in a quiet little space, and they would confess, Father, right here, right now, I need to confess my unbelief. But I want to thank you today that you're my everything. Father, maybe someone that's listening to this broadcast will just have to be honest. And they'd have to be honest through the conviction of your Holy Spirit. You're showing them that they are not in Christ. They've never been at rest in their relationship and their fellowship with you. Maybe right now you're stirring their hearts. I pray that by faith, repentance, they would yield, submit, and surrender by your grace unto you. And you would take them out of this world, you'd take them out of Adam, and you'd place them in Christ. And Father, thank you today for your word and your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.